Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Rebecca with Traversing the Veil with my co-host Kristen. Say hi, Kristen.
Hello. How is everybody tonight? It's going to be a great night.
It is. Tonight we are lucky enough to have with us Jason and Rhonda Spears from the Anchor Inn. I have personally investigated this location, and let me tell you, this place is haunted off the chain. Not to mention, is it haunted? It also has some great history, and we're going to learn all about that tonight. They also have really, really good food. I mean, this place cranks it out. Their chicken strips are to die for. If you guys ever get up to Houghton Lake, make sure you check out the restaurant, and you also want to get in there, if you can, for the ghost hunt that they have. What I'm going to do now is go ahead and bring them on the air so they can tell you more than I can. And let's go ahead and say hello to Rhonda, and let's say hello to Jason.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Glad to have you.
Hello. Hey, guys. Like I said, we're going to talk about your off-the-chain historical location there, and what we're going to do is start, why don't you guys tell us a little bit of the history of the Anchor Inn, and we'll get started there, and then we'll kind of work our way into the ghostly part of this.
All righty, I'll put Rod on because you guys don't want to hear my stories.
He always makes me do the part. Well, we are 106 years old, and yes, prior to that, we were Native American land and then a logging mill, and then they started building the buildings there, so it's got a long history. About the time we came in is about the same time Prohibition was in full swing. So the Purple Gang and gangsters would hang out at our place and bring us our liquid spirits. And and it was also a working brothel, one of four or five that were in the area. Woo-hoo! At that time. And Jason. So it was a working brothel all the way up to 1985. And yes.
So that was around 1913, around that time, Rhonda, when it opened up?
Yeah, 1913. You're right. I don't know why I was thinking 06 for some reason, but yeah.
Cool.
So it was a working brothel. I remember when I was younger, this tells how old I am, but when I was younger, hearing stories about the working girls there and if the red light was on, what it meant and different things. And I always just thought it was a rumor. I just thought it was stories. I never believed any of it. So until we got it, and then I started studying it up, and sure enough, it was. We have a secret tunnel that went from our basement to the lake to the hotel across the street, and that's where they would smuggle things in and out. They used to have dog fights and high-stake card games in our basement, and that's where the gangsters hung out. And we were told not all that came back out on their own, because they would have secret mafia meetings. We've been told that the likes of Al Capone and John Dillinger and different ones have been through our door.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've actually been through there with you, Rhonda. I can definitely validate everything that we've been talking about. That place is amazing. Yeah, it leaves you coming back for more, doesn't it? For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very interesting.
Yep,
and then along with the history, then we have we're about 150 feet from the largest inland lake in the state, which holds energy. And then we sit right on ley lines that cross. Two of them cross right there on our property, so it kind of makes a portal to the other side. So.
Yeah, I was talking to Becca about
that
this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there the night that Andrea Perrin called the UFOs in over the lake.
Yeah, yep. Yep, she was very much a lot of fun. We liked her.
She was. But, yeah, it's just a real supernatural area with the ley lines, as you mentioned, and then the Native American history, and then with the Purple Gang and, you know, the lovely ladies of the evening. I mean, you guys have such a colorful history. Of course, it's going to draw in spirit. And, you know, when I was there, why don't you tell people a little bit about the upstairs over the restaurant?
Yeah, please do.
I got molested.
Jason, he never gets over getting molested. He tells everyone he got molested there.
He did.
He did. That's what I was going to bring up.
Grabbed,
yeah. Okay.
But
yeah.
Anyway, it is an old hotel. They used to rent rooms, and of course, not only did people board there and live there, but it was also a brothel, of course. And when we bought the place, it had been closed up for about 30 years. It had been untouched, so it was left just the way it was 30 years ago, pretty much. Nothing's been done to it. So
wow.
Pretty neat up there. All the floors are still there, the original wood floors and all the stuff. We're hoping eventually to start refurbishing slowly but surely. So that's our hope.
You're already starting that a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been doing a little there. Yep, yep. Our hopes is to have it be an operating hotel or bed and breakfast again, so that people can stay there again.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be wonderful, because all of the history, and not to mention, you know, all the spirits that they would get to interact with.
Yeah.
Well, it's the experience. It's just the total package.
Yeah, and there has been known deaths on the property and some suspicious passings, I should say. Also, there's believed to be infants or babies buried on the property. Of course, back then, you know, that kind of thing was normal, to where they would bury them right there on the property. So
that all just kinds as people of, today bury their animals on their land, you know, same theory. You know,
yeah.
They always keep it with the family, but now it's, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was considered like you said, keeping them close, you know, to them. Not to mention a lot of people couldn't afford, you know, a proper burial.
Right.
It was expensive.
Being that there wasn't an operating hospital in the area at that time, of course, it was really common for people to be treated right where they stayed. And in those rooms up there, not only the ladies that worked there, but even people that stayed there, you know, there would have been deaths and births and everything in the rooms themselves. We've had a lot of people come through our doors and say, oh, my, you know, I was born here. I was like 80-year-old.
Wow.
Through, and I was born in that room. So, you know, naturally, there was probably a lot of stillborns, miscarriages, you know, things like that, abortions, right there on the grounds. So, and we have a lot of...
Yeah, I just got a vision of that. A lot of blood, you know, has been definitely spilt there.
Yeah, and then, of course, we had the, like I mentioned earlier, the dog fights and rooster fights. And we have a lot of animal spirits there, unusually. We've got a cat, but mostly dogs, a lot of dog spirits. And we have one that we believe is a monkey, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was there, I definitely saw some spirits of some puppy dogs running around.
Yeah, we've had people report that they got like nipped on the heel or something like that. And have a little mark on their heels or something.
Oh,
and we've got
pant legs being pulled.
We got pictures where it looks like a dog sitting in the booth in between people. Things like that.
Aww.
So.
That's cool. I like that.
Now,
do you ever,
just
like,
something I want to know about.
Do you ever take your paranormal pictures and develop them and put them out on your walls?
You know what? I haven't gotten around to doing that, no. Honestly, I'm so busy, and I have plans. I've got lots of pictures that I want to still get up on the walls in there. And I just have never gotten to it.
Open one of the rooms up as an escape room.
Yeah.
So,
I it seems like I've always not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, I get that. But spirits do like to have homage of where they've been and pictures of them. You know, they always like that.
I do have a few pictures of like the Madam Marie herself. She's on the wall up there, and we have some family pictures, and we have some pictures of some of the old patrons and things, but
I
haven't put any of my paranormal pictures or any other pictures. I've got other pictures to put up there, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Well, you got to see this place. That place is so cool, though. You know, it's definitely unique. Every room that you went into had a different motif, a different feeling. Explain the different rooms in there, Rhonda.
Definitely. Yep. Each room does have its own feel, doesn't it? Well, I have the one that's the red room. We did just, he's reminding me, we just opened that one up as an escape room. It has a old-time 1930s brothel-type history and feel to the escape room mystery, and you have to try to get out and escape. You got 60 minutes. But
sweet.
That one's the red room. That one's one of the bigger rooms. So there's two rooms that are bigger. They're kind of like suites. And that one, I call that the red room or Emily's room. Emily is one of the working girls that used to work there. And, of course, that's Jason's Gale. Yeah, she took a liking to Jason and for a long time was stalking him and found obsessed with him. And
is that the one with the red hair?
No, that one. The one with the red hair is Marie. Yeah, and that's
Marie. Okay.
Yep. Emily's quite a bit younger than Marie, and she's very playful. She's very flirty. She likes guys. A lot of people get touched by her during their their visits there. She likes to play with their hair and grab butts and you name it. So.
I think that she. I wonder, did the guys feel like her blowing in their ear or something? I just got a vision of her blowing in their ears, like the, you know,
yeah.
Like you know, around their neck or their ear. Yeah.
And she loves to touch like their hair, and like if they're wearing a necklace, she'll tug on it and pull, like play with it. And she loves to play with.
You're lucky enough, she likes to play with your private area.
Tim Woolworth is one of them that Tim and Daniel.
Well, can I ask that?
Tim Woolworth and Daniel Mackin. She loves to mess with Tim's hair.
When
he's got that long, pretty hair. So.
And he's done quite a few spirit box sessions there, hasn't he?
Yeah. He usually leads our ghost hunt during our paranormal convention every May. Yep. So he's our
And tell
ghost
us a little
box.
Bit about that. Tell us about your paracon that's happening in May. Who we got coming this year?
You know, I'm not completely finished with the lineup. I'm still waiting to hear from a few. Trying to get things in order, but right now I have pinned down. If I say these names wrong, I apologize. I think it's Chetan Noor.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the proper saying. I've never met her.
I thought everyone's name. Don't feel bad.
She's in the cryptozoology, and she's going to be covering Great Lakes monsters and Bigfoot and Dogman and things like that. She's in the Dogman organization, and I can't even think of the names offhand without looking at bios. Sorry. But
that's okay.
We have James Ross, and he is a novelist out of New York, and he writes fictional haunted books, but in his writing he has went and visited a lot of haunted locations that are famous, and he's going to be sharing some of the evidence that he collected during his research. And then we have Brian Parsons. He's another one that's into cryptozoology, and we'll be covering a lot of Bigfoot, UFO type phenomena. Who else do I have, hon?
Beautiful.
Thank you. Jason says he'll be there.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Daniel.
Gotta have Jason.
Daniel Mackin from MapIt. Michigan Area Paranormal Investigative Team will be there. He's actually he's supposed to do something fun during in between speakers this year. He is inventing a trivia game exclusively for Haunted Heights.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be giving
That'd be fun.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's going to do a fun little game show.
Like the weekend. That is the weekend of May 4th, correct?
Yeah, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Yep.
Wow.
Do the tickets go on sale for that?
They're already on sale. You can get them. You can call and get them over the phone with a Visa or MasterCard. And the number is 989.
What's the phone number?
989-422-7070 or 202-4153. I'm sorry. 989-422-7070 or 989-202-4153 are the phone numbers you can call.
Is there a website?
If you get those to me later, I will put them up on our page too for you.
Yeah, you can go on our, we do have a page on Facebook. It's Haunted Heights Paracon. And it does tell about the event, and I've been updating it every time we get new speakers and things like that. Brian Danhausen will be there. My mind is like blank, and my husband's not helping me.
That's a lot of people.
Here, I'm like trying to think of who all's going to be there. So.
Northern Michigan Spirit Seekers are going to be there.
Come closer to the phone, Jason.
Northern Michigan Spirit Seekers are going to be there. Trying to think who else.
He's not thinking. He's pulling it up on Facebook to cheat.
Cheating is allowed
on
our show.
Gotta do.
You allow cheating. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was picking up while you're thinking about it. Hey, Jason, do you know, I got the spirit named Joe that's around you. You were talking about earlier about, but he's actually physically, he's actually impacting a little bit about your health, the way you feel. He blocks you a lot around stairways. And it's just a lot, I just feel like he holds you back. He gets in your energy a lot.
It's funny you said that because the very first Paracon we did, I had to go. We were opening the basement, not just the upstairs, so people could see the snow. And when I was doing the steps to redo the steps going up from downstairs, I kept getting touched and pushed from behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pushed right onto the step, and I'd come upstairs and tell Ron, okay, I'm done. She'd just tell me not to be a wimp, go back down. But
well, he says, do you have, like, a lot of ideas about things, about how you want to change things? Because that's what he's perceiving. Like, he doesn't like all the different changes that you want to implement or something. He just likes it old and the way it is. And he smells of alcohol I know you're in a bar setting, you know, there a little bit, but he reeks of it. Like, that's all he does is drink. So he's a big guy. He's not small, you know. So, yeah. So next time, put him in his check. I know who you are now.
I can't think. I mean, we have had Joe, I think, come up in our investigating before, but the only one connected to Jason personally that I can think of would be his great grandfather, who was a big man. He had great big hands and was a big guy. But that's what I can think of. Joe Rever. Yeah, Joe.
Is just leave things alone. They're just set in their ways, you know? Okay.
Another couple that are going to be at my Paracon is Dan and Becca Smith. They're going to be going over, they're going to be talking about paranormal in the future, like technology and science. And it sounds boring, but extremely interesting. I mean, we were just like, me and Jason were like, okay, what are they going to talk about? And we went and seen them at the Terrace Inn, and they were just so fascinating, the stuff that they were, the information they have and the knowledge they have about future paranormal stuff coming out and different scientific things and equipment that are coming our way. It was just so fascinating. We couldn't get enough.
Yeah, I'm always looking into that, too. That's good.
Yeah. We're both definitely into the science side of it, too, being paranormal investigators ourselves. So
That'll be interesting for him.
He just had us amazed at some of the stuff that he was showing us. So I was very excited to get them to come. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, we're working on a few others. I haven't gotten it pinned down, I'm hoping, but they are bigger names, well-known names that people will know. So.
Awesome.
Now, the paranormal, since we're talking about it. Now, what kind of paranormal would you say has been the most significant there since you've been there? The most, moment there, paranormal.
Our EVPs.
Like the
thing that makes you say, our EVPs.
Yeah.
Our EVPs, mm-hmm. We get, our EVPs are awesome. I mean, we'll get people that'll ask questions that only they would know the answer, and they'll get the answer back, and they'll be like, there's no way. There's no way that just came through there.
And a lot of our EVPs are like class A, like so clear, and some of them are sentences where, and they're specific answers to questions that are being asked, and so they're unmistakable that.
I mean, our EVPs were so clear on one investigation that we did. These ladies, they were skeptics, and they actually worked for the state of Michigan, and they came for a tour. And they went on a night tour, and at the end, the one lady was still like, yeah, okay, whatever. And we said, all right, let's do an EVP session down here. So we did an EVP session down here, and one of the questions was, what is her sweat? She said, what does my sweatshirt say? And we got a clear EVP, and it said, Go State. And she had an MSU sweatshirt on. And she was like, that's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't just say it. It was kind of like a cheerleader, like, Go State. And she just, her jaw dropped. Her friends and her, they just couldn't believe it. They were floored. And
oh,
we do
good.
Never record that one.
Yeah, I
so.
Think that's the best experience when you get someone that's an absolute non-believer and you present them with something like that they can't, you know, they can't dispute because they're hearing it themselves. So that I think that is one of the best parts of being a paranormal investigator is showing people that, look, you know, this is a valid science and this is, you know, we actually do get evidence that is, you know, irrefutable.
Right. Well, and I mean, besides that, we get it all there as far as activity. We've had shadow figures. We have people that have seen full apparitions. We have, you know, like the noisy ghosts are there, poltergeists, where you can hear pots and pans, and they mess with the equipment, and they turn
doors.
Faucets on and off.
Doors open and shut.
Doors, open and shut, and get unlocked and locked on their own. And
water turned on and off.
Yep. So we do have a lot of activity there. A wide range of activity, but I love the EVP. That's my favorite. Without the ghost box or anything, spirit box, just the straight-on EVPs because, it just blows your mind to hear someone actually talking back to you intelligently.
When there was nothing there before.
Yeah.
This isn't coming off a word bank. This is coming over, you know, a recording where there was nothing before. That's why EVPs are my favorite.
Yep,
I mean,
that's my favorite. So
when you can just prove that it was anybody in the room, you know, because that voice doesn't belong to anybody that was with you. That's the best.
Right. All the gadgets are cool. I like them. They're fun to play with, but yeah, I like my straight up EVPs the best.
Another one of our EVP sessions we did, which was a sad one. A young man had just lost his mother and to suicide. And he was pretty upset about it. And he didn't act like he really believed what was about to happen. But halfway through, he started asking questions. And we would do like the 15-minute burst and we would play back. And his one question was, why, Mom? And it came back, the voice, and it was his mom's voice. And I'm sorry.
Aww.
And just
Aww.
Lost a guy and had to walk out. I mean, he got confirmation, you know, that from his mother that he was sorry. And you could tell that he forgave her for what had happened then.
That's good. That's
we've had a lot of people, you know, you come there on a ghost hunt, and it's not just our spirits that you're interacting with. You get a lot of other spirits.
Yeah, because everybody brings somebody with them, you know.
Yep, yep. And I always tell them, you know, they know where you're coming. They know where you're going, so they know. If they come here, they're going to be able to talk to you when you get here. So.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I
picked up like 6 spirits in there now.
Right.
At least 6 going around, yeah, hithering and fithering.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I remember Tom capturing a picture in a mirror upstairs in the hallway there of a spirit that was by me, and I was like putting my hand up, and it was touching my hand. And he captured that in one of the mirrors. That was really the coolest picture. I like that a lot.
Right.
We have
our resident spirits, and then we have our family spirits, and then I call them the hitchhikers, the one that come in through the ley lines that are just passing through that we really don't know.
Mm-hmm. The portals, yeah. Mhm. Yep. Yeah. So did you ever get your shovel?
No, you know what? And we've had
That was funny. I was just going to bring that up.
We've had at least 4 more mediums that have come through that have told us, dig.
I want to get all these people that say dig to come at one time, and we all dig together.
You guys got to come direct.
Yeah. Well, have you ever taken a compass downstairs?
No, I took the dowsing rods down there, and they keep pointing to the same areas.
Even where Rebecca said.
There's something, I feel like there's something like a metallic, the earth or something that's going to throw it off, too. But take a compass down there. Yeah. There's something
up
about a compass.
When are we going to see you?
I know. I'm coming. I'm actually thinking about moving towards your way, guys.
Bring a compass with you.
I just bought one. Bought one at an antique store. Mm-hmm.
I'll wait till you're here to do it.
And I'm going to bring a shovel. Yeah, because I know it was down there when I went down to the left. Isn't it when you go down the stairs, it was to the left, Rhonda, that you were talking about? That's where the tunnels are?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Well, and you, these guys have wanted to tear out my floor. My son and they're like, let's just tear the floor up.
I can fix it. I'm a carpenter.
I'm like, you're not tearing my floor up.
Have you ever took a metal detector down there or anything?
No, we have not. My sister actually has one. I told her she needs to bring it up with her this spring or summer so that we can take it down there. But I don't know if that's going to...
And the ground.
Yeah, I don't know if it will. We need one of them sonar, them penetrating...
Yeah,
stuff.
You do. That'd be really
cool. Yep, I agree.
There you go.
MSU has a...
Yeah, when I was there last, guys, I showed you right where to go. I stood on top of it. And pointed down.
Would you say, Jason?
I was ready to rip it out, and she said no.
No, you said something about MSU, didn't you?
Michigan State University, their ghost hunting team have a ground penetrating radar that they use sometimes.
Well, get them on board.
So if we're at MSU bar, which we are, should my husband, I think he should hit them up, don't you guys?
I think so, too.
Oh,
I haven't
yeah.
come to the
mm-hmm.
your May event. That would be really good.
Tell them why we're digging. What do we think sent to there?
Well, I've been actually told by numerous mediums and psychics that have come through that they believe that there is hidden treasure, whether it's money or it's something of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Beck and I both said that to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would give us, I mean, I've been told that we're not, like, going to be millionaire rich, but it would be enough money to do everything we want to do, and then some. So.
1900 is money. I wonder how long that would stay for us.
Yeah. What I'm seeing and what I'm getting is that it's related to the purple guy.
Yeah. And you know, the area that they keep telling us is where our tunnel was. And it's not hard to think that they would have, if you're trying to get away fast or in a hurry to bury something, why would you go in the tunnel? That's where everybody would think to go. But they wouldn't think about doing it right there at the entrance of the tunnel. So I think that would be a good hiding spot right there at the entrance, because who would think of that?
Yeah.
Where they would absolutely expect it, and that's where, you know, if they're expecting it to be there, that's the last place they're going to look.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to say, oh, they never put it there. That'd be stupid. So, of course, they put it there.
Yep.
And, you know, they were bootlegging through there underneath there, too. So, you know, and not to be morbid, but I feel like there's bodies down there, too.
You know, we've questioned that because there's cement slab pillars in our basement that are there for no reason.
Yeah, we talked about that.
He's been a builder his whole life, and he said that for the life of him, he cannot figure out. They're not offering any support. They're not.
No, they're not structurally conducive. No.
So
they're not.
They don't make sense. And we often tease. We always have it. We have a running joke that Jimmy Hoff is down there.
Hey, they never have. You know, they've never found him. So you never know.
Yep.
Isn't there a big reward for him or something still, I think, going? Do you find him?
Yeah, actually, I believe so.
Maybe that's how they're saying we'll make fix everything we want to do, open it back up as a hotel.
Yeah. Be the, you know, the last resting place of Jimmy Hoffa. That'll put you on the map, too.
Yeah.
But... hard, it's now, hard
telling. Yeah. Now, while the purple gang was there, the setup was a little bit different. If I remember you guys telling me that where the booths were, they had, like, private, like, VIP stations almost?
Yeah. The booths used to have pillars that went all the way to the ceiling. Unfortunately, one of the past owners cut them down for some reason. And plus, the ceiling was a lot higher. They put in a drop ceiling. That ceiling wasn't there like that, like it is now. So the booth, the pillars went all the way up, and there was red velvet curtains that closed them so that they had privacy. And those were reserved for, you know, VIP, the important guests in particular when they would have their own booth. So.
Conduct their private business.
Yes, their private dealings.
No, at the time that the Purple Gang was there, was the brothel upstairs at the same time? Or were they, you know, in charge of that, or, you know?
Yeah, they were there. It was a brothel during their time. Marie was in charge of the brothel, but... Marie had a big supper club in Brimley, and her and her husband, and they had ties to Chicago, and so I think they had a lot of like mafia type ties. I don't think she was ruthless or you know a murderer or anything like that.
No,
she was a pretty good lady. But I think she did what she had to do to make money and make, you know, her business successful.
happened to that place in Brimley? Did you ever go by there, Rhonda?
Yes.
Yes, we did. We did. And that
you
was
did
so
go
neat.
There.
Yes.
We did go there, yes.
And we went across the street from where the bar was there. And guess whose family plots we found?
Mm-hmm.
Her family plots were all found there.
Yawn, yeah.
Wow.
We found some of her family.
Cool.
We
wow.
did out. One thing that's crazy
yeah.
is we found out recently where Marie's buried. We've never been there.
We're
going to go this spring as soon as the ground unthaws. But we just found out she's buried right up the road from us in the same cemetery that my dad and sister and our nephew are in. Yeah, we never knew she was there, so we're going to have to go hunting to find
her.
Well,
can
you
like call the office and ask them?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah,
Brimley's pretty cool up there, too. Yeah.
Yeah,
our cottage is only 10 minutes from that place. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a nice little place. But
that
it's
was,
not. I think yours is a lot better. I enjoy your place a lot better.
Yeah.
What's that?
But is that the cemetery you took me to, Kristen?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that the cemetery you took me to?
No,
Greenlee?
Not at all.
Nope,
no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
The neat thing is their place up north, it used to be Lazy Bob's Supper Club. It was called, that was her husband. Her husband was Al, but they called him Lazy Bob. And what was neat was there's a big hotel with that, too. So I imagine they had a lot of stuff going on there, too. a lot of deals. So.
Yeah.
And you said
a lot of history.
At the, you said at the Anchor Inn they had some gambling going on as well?
Yeah, in our basement, it would be high-stake card games. You would have to be invited down there to join these. So it would be a lot of influential, high-powered figures.
Yeah,
I don't think they want to be invited
door?
Down there.
I felt like there was a separate door or something, and they had to have, like, a certain Morse code or a knock to get in or something weird like the old days.
It could be. Possible. I'm not sure of that, but yeah, it's possible. So.
Yeah. I keep on picking up.
I can't wait to get back home.
That ever since
Sorry,
I've
Kristen.
Been there, that place is that it's not what it seems to be. It's almost like it's hidden within a mirror image. It's like it changes. It's just weird. I mean, ever since I've been there, and I picked the same feeling up again tonight. And I haven't been there in a couple of years, so. But the energy shifts in there, and it warbles.
Yeah.
It's
It does. You get different feeling. Like you said earlier, like we said earlier, every room has a different feel to it. It's like the rooms are alive. They have their own emotions and their own energies, almost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the whole place
I
is
agree
like,
with that.
If I looked at it differently, it would show me a different view of the place. That's
right.
Odd. I just never picked, you know.
And
so.
it's actually physically been changed a couple times, too. That might be what you're picking up on.
Okay.
We do have a couple different historic pictures, photos, where it looks different physically. Because it started off with the open porch, the upstairs, the veranda there was open, and it was white painted, and and then they enclosed the porch, but then they also had at one time wooden pillars on the front of the place, which were added, and someone removed them and took them off for some reason. I have no clue. But
shame.
So it's changed a couple. It's changed appearance a few times. So
probably with new owners or new stuff, you know, during the history.
Yep.
How many owners have had that place? You know.
Well, the Aiken brothers built it. They built it originally as a grocery, hotel, meat market, And again, that was during Prohibition, so of course we had liquid spirits, but it wasn't advertised. And then it went to Cliff Chapman, and his family had it for a while. And then it was sold to Marie, and Marie owned it for a lot of years. And then in 85, she sold it to Sam, Savo and Mila. And they owned it up until 2011 when we bought it.
Wow. So what, five? Something like that?
Yeah. Let's see, Aikens, Chapman, Marie, Sam, and us. Yep. About five owners.
Wow.
So how did you guys come to own the Anchor Inn? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, that was my good job, Becca. That's what my next thing was.
Yeah. Well, my mom and dad bought the Anchor Inn back in 2011. It was actually my dad's dream. My dad always talked about wanting to buy a bar. He always wanted to have a bar. And they never did. I don't know for whatever reason. I don't know why, because he owned a lot of things. He owned several resorts and houses all over and all kinds of stuff. But for some reason, he didn't buy a bar. He was getting older. He was getting up there in years. He was getting a lot more health problems. So my mom got this bright idea that she was going to buy this bar so that he could live a little of his dream before he, you know, he passed. She wanted him to be able to realize his dream of owning a bar. And so they bought it. And that first year, my dad's health, unfortunately, went downhill. He passed at the end of that year. I was her manager. I had given up my job of, I had did home health care for 26 years. And I gave up my job to go run that for them. And then after my dad passed, it just, she was financially struggling and struggling all the way around. And so we kind of took on partners. And then the next thing you knew, she kind of backed away more and more as she got older. And then we took over. So
nice. Carrying down the legacy. That's good.
But the bar was not.
And it's great that your dad got a year worth of his dream. That's that's awesome.
But the bar was not my dream.
No.
But the bar now
is. It's not my thing, but I think that it was coincidence that it just happened to be haunted because I was into haunted stuff and all this paranormal years before, you know, since I was young. So I think
about that, we were in St. Augustine on vacation. We were speaking about buying a bed and breakfast in St. Augustine.
Yeah. Yeah, we had other ideas, but it just, I think that the paranormal just kind of fell into my lap, part of it, because that was right up my alley. And that's when we embraced it. And then I started doing the tours and things. And so we get to do a lot of fun things there that are more up our alley, like our Paracon and, you know, our all our haunted house at Halloween and all
community.
The stuff that we do for the community and for that stuff that we enjoy. So I guess.
Yeah, your website has a lot that you do throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
they say the haunted locations
you put on
pick their people.
Like every month. You put on a lot of festivities for a lot of people.
Yeah, we do quite a bit throughout the year. And that's more our thing. I mean, our dream actually was we talked about always having a holiday house because we're real into holidays. We're real into family. We love kids. We love doing things for families and community and things. So that part of it, we've been able to at least do a lot of that through Anchor Inn. So
nice.
We did get lucky there.
Aw.
We've brought a lot
Aww.
Of our dreams into it. So.
Matter of fact, we've got a big thing coming up that's one of my favorite. We got a big event coming up this next coming Monday, which is one of my favorites for Wurtz Warriors, which is Special Olympics. So, we try to do as much as we can. When it comes to a kid, it's hard for either one of us to say no, even if we don't have the time. When it comes to a kid, we make the time.
What's your guys' address there if they want to jot that down real quick?
It's 1781 Heights View Drive, Houghton Lake, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And what would be a good time to come in and check you guys out?
We're on our winter hours right now, so we are open. We're open all day and evening Monday. We're open Tuesday evening. Wednesdays we're closed. Thursdays we're closed. Fridays and Saturdays we're open. And Sundays we're closed. So right now we're on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, pretty much.
All right. Well, it's good to know. And then if
tell us a little bit after Kristen's done. Why don't you guys go ahead and tell us about your metaphysical shop too? I know you have one of those, right?
Yeah, we just opened that this summer, and that's a spiritual, paranormal, metaphysical shop. We sell everything from souvenirs to crystals, stones, sage, protection, anointing oils, and holy waters, and protecting salt. We sell handcrafted items. Just all kinds of different things out of there. We also do psychic readings. We have classes that we do that range from make and take craft and art classes to paranormal workshops and things like that, meditation, drumming. All sorts of things.
Wow. And that kicks in, Harry Gear, about what, March more or when? When does that open up more?
Usually not till May. February, March, April are kind of slower months. Those are cold months up here. So May, picking up, and that's when we start doing a lot more events for the summer and things.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get our team up there pretty soon and do an investigation with you guys.
I was just going to say
that. Would be great.
We'll get up here. And it'll be nice if you guys can get up here when we don't have a big event going on. That way we can spend more time.
If they're coming up, I'll cancel the event.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, our team's chomping at the bit to get in there. So we Kristen and I have talked about it and, told them about it, and they're all excited to get in there. So we'll definitely schedule something soon. This is our slow time, too. So maybe we'll have to plan a Saturday, come up and have some of your amazing food and then get a tour and go on a little investigation.
Right.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me,
too.
Yeah,
I like that.
Guys. He just let my animal out. I had to put him in the bedroom because he would drive us nuts when we're trying to talk on the phone, but he just let him out. So if you hear crying, it's him.
That's all right. My cat interrupts my radio shows all the time. That's perfectly okay. We're animal friendly here.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, he's probably mad at me for locking him in there.
Oh, yeah, Mom.
Yeah, he did. He went right to Jason. Usually he gets on me.
He's locked in there with the ghost cat, huh? That you bring home.
Technically, probably is, because my other cat's ashes are in there in the bedroom by my nightstand, so it probably was.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, guys, so why don't you go ahead and give people your phone number and your address one more time.
It's 1781 Heights View Drive, Houghton Lake, and the phone number is 989-4000 or 989-4141. Yeah, and we do, like you said, we do haunted private ghost hunts, full investigations throughout the year. In May, we have the Paracon that we sell tickets for. that comes with if you do the VIP, it gets you get ghost investigation with that. Later in the summer, in July, we do a spirit, which is psychic mediums from all over come and vendors, and we'd have a big fair and do a big ghost hunt and things with that. And then in the end of October, we are involved in the world's largest ghost hunt, and we sell tickets for that as well.
Yeah, because you're awesome. One of the top dogs in Michigan for being the most haunted, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're right up there.
Right up there in the top five, yep.
Oh, see?
In October,
that's
we
great
also,
to know.
We also have our in October, where we turn the hotel into a big haunted house for Halloween. It's a Halloween attraction. We were voted several times as Northern Michigan's number one haunted attraction. And this year will be our 20th anniversary. So,
we got some big surprises.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming for that, for our 20th year.
Plus,
yay! So listeners, make sure you get up to Houghton Lake and check out the Anchor Inn and visit with the ghosts and get some great food. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. We appreciate Jason and Rhonda. We appreciate you being here tonight and telling us all about your wonderful location. Yep. And we will hopefully see you guys soon.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank
you. You're welcome.
It's a wonderful location. We want people to know about it.
Thank you.
You're
Look
welcome.
For us on too.
Okay, that's it for Traversing the Veil this evening. We're going to go ahead and wrap. Kristen, did you have any closing thoughts for this evening for anybody?
No, just, you know, just keep in tune every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 o'clock for our different programs that we do offer. We'll be putting that out every week. So, you know, get a hold of Becca and myself if you have any ideas or thoughts that you'd like us to talk about. And, you know, for 2019, we have a lot of amazing events that we want to go over and do different talk shows, different hosts. It's definitely going to be a great mix this year. So I'm excited for 2019 for us. Yeah, for sure. And then you can get a hold of you, Hal, through your website, Beck.
You can get hold of me through my Instagram, which is Rebecca Smuck, my Facebook, which is Rebecca Smuck, or my public figure page on Facebook under the Motor City Medium. And Kristen, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can Facebook Kristen Roberts Medium, and then KristenRobertsMedium.com is my website for more information. But they can direct the 517-930-4306 or text. That would be fine, too.
Well, we enjoyed talking to you guys tonight. We're going to be setting up our next show where we'll have a wonderful medium on for you to talk to. We'll be discussing a really exciting topic our first half hour, and then during our second half hour, we will be going live with a psychic for your questions. Thank you from Traversing the Veil. You guys all have a great evening. Bye, Kristen.
Bye, Becca. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great evening.